views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Start the adventure. Live the dream. International living, exploring, investing, and retiring. Light on Living Abroad shines the spotlight on how life can be better with life abroad. We'll explore owning investment properties in emerging markets, how to manage those assets effectively to increase your wealth. You'll learn the important steps involved in buying, renting, and building overseas. With safety lifestyle lessons and guidance to where to enjoy the most beautiful scenic locations, you'll discover where your best international investment property is waiting for you. Light on Living Abroad takes you there. Welcome on board.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this edition of Light on Living Abroad. I'm your host, Lisa Berry. As we build on this series of great adventure, travel, and investing, we're happy to have Will Roadhouse back with us again today. And he is the CEO and founder of Compass Group International, number one real estate consulting firm in Central America. Will provides offshore asset management portfolio services for high net worth clients seeking a better return and asset protection in emerging countries in Asia and Latin America. He's also a frequent flyer who loves traveling the world so much that he's created TV shows and podcasts about all the amazing places to live for just $1,000 a month. So welcome back to the show, Will.
Hi, Lisa. Glad to be back again, 2 o'clock in the morning.
We always get you at these late nights here, so thank you for being flexible for us over here.
No problem.
Last time, I've been learning so much about Bangkok and all the, I'm surprised, and I'm pleasantly surprised. When I think of travel, yes, I can think of the most exotic places that are so different, and sometimes I just think of places that are relaxing just to get me out of my own life, and I don't want to have to think or learn. But in seeing and learning just how different, but in such a good way, the life is in Bangkok, I'm always so happy and excited to hear your stories of the people, of the food, of how the life is lived, and just the beautiful, shocking things. And I want all of our listeners to know how, if they want to explore Thailand and go to Bangkok, how do they get there? How long can they stay? What can they do? How can they make a life there? So that's where I'm just excited to continue our conversation and really share it with them, like just what you've loved so much about it and what keeps you coming back.
Sure. Well, the easiest way to get here, excuse me, is I always prefer to take Asian carriers because if you look at the top 10, Lisa, as far as service-wise for airline carriers, you always see Asian carriers. So I like Cathay Pacific. I love EVA Air. I love Thai Airways. So let's assume that you're coming from a place in North America. Your average trip to get here is going to be roughly about 18 hours and maybe 20 hours. Most likely your hubs are going to be from LA or San Francisco or Seattle. And then from there, you're going to go to either Taipei, Taiwan or to Narita, Japan. And then from there, it's going to be to Bangkok, Thailand. But the one thing is that what everyone needs to understand is that as long as you're carrying a passport, which is one of the main passports that is free to really go anywhere in the world, so like a Canadian passport, a UK passport, or an American passport, when you arrive in Thailand, you get a visa on arrival. So that means you get 30-day tourist visa automatically.
Oh.
But should you want to stay longer, you can extend it up to 90 days, but you would have to go to the local Thai embassy to extend your stay. But here's a caveat, Lisa. And here's where so many Westerners make a mistake. Don't make the assumption that, oh, you know what? I'm just going to stay here for 45 days and not do my extension. Well, you can get thrown in jail for that. And I always tell people, is that just make the effort. Just go in the Thai consulate and then file for your extensions. It's not that expensive. but you can definitely do that. So always
how long would it take? How long would it take to get, like, you don't want to be waiting until the 27th, 28th day and then thinking you should do this.
It just could be half a day. It's just a half a day inconvenience. Your hotel will tell you exactly, you know, they'll put you in a cab and they'll take you to the consulate, and there they'll walk you through everything. Everyone there speaks English.
Okay. What does the visa allow you? What does it provide you? So, because if I were to fly anywhere else, let's say, and I land, I don't need a visa or get one. So what is it that, why does the visa exist, and what does it permit you to do?
Well, for an example, most visas exist is to enable or to basically keep foreigners from coming in and overstaying the country and utilizing all the resources for free. So as we said in our last show, the cheap and inexpensive healthcare here in Thailand doesn't want a whole bunch of Westerners coming here and overstaying for free just to use the healthcare. And, you know, Australia is the same way. You know, that's why they have very, very strict laws. So, but if you want to retire here, there are retirement visas. So, Lisa, let me just go through that really quick. Should you decide that you do want to stay here and retire here, the application requirements it's not that difficult at all. And really, there are many immigration attorneys in Thailand that can do that for you. So here are the basic qualifications. You must be at least 50 years or older. You can't have any sort of criminal history, any kind of criminal background, and you must have a Thai bank account and have about $30,000 in that Thai bank account for at least 2 months to marinate for a little bit. And then in addition to that, you have to show a proof of monthly income and pension of at least about $2,000 a month. And then with all of that, they basically put in your documentation, and then once approved, here are the benefits. Is that now for 1 year, because each visa is good for one valid year, then you renew it every single year. But now you have multiple entries into Thailand. You come in and out of Thailand without whenever you want for that 1 year.
Okay. Now, going through that list there, because that was a really interesting list. We've got to be over 50, no criminal history. And then when it's about having approximately $30,000 in the Thai bank account for at least the 2 months, because, you know, we're showing that we're committed and it's there. Do we pay, I don't know if we, like, that just sits there and that's good. How easy is it to open a Thai bank account before you're even living there?
Well, when you're applying, it's not the easiest. That when you're applying for residency, the attorneys will help you open those accounts for you. And Lisa, I also want to keep in mind is that that $30,000 that's marinating an account, that's still your money. It's not a fee to the Thai government. And some people, when they're researching these visa requirements, they think it's a fee. So no, it's not. So I want to make that very, very clear.
Okay, that's actually, yes, very helpful. And in fact, that's kind of fun for somebody else to know that they have the $30,000 in the bank. So should that be the money they are going to live off of? I mean, it's there doing that, and whether it's collecting your interest or not. When you say about proving income, can they prove that they're making income from anywhere in the world, or does it have to be that they are making income from in within Thailand?
No, this is income outside of Thailand. So it's your pension. It's your 401k from work. It's your IRAs. It's your Social Security benefits. So this is income outside of Thailand. And most people, when you combine their like Social Security and a pension, most individuals are around $1,500 to $2,000 a month.
Right. Yeah. So this is not crazy requirements or anything like that. So we talked about it being the bare bones one. It's every year you would have to reapply or do this. And then that gives you that in and out of the country kind of permission, access. Once you have it for the first time, does it become any easier or a guarantee that you'll get it the next time? Or is it as long as you have those requirements met that it should be good?
It's easier. So it's, once you have it, as long as you're not a criminal, you're not breaking the law, you'll get it again.
Okay. Okay, this is good. This sounds like, you know, kind of like when I'm Canadian and I go get my passport the first time and I go through all the signatures and proving it, then I just renew and I renew and I renew. And so this is something that you've had to go through because you've been there now for 4 years. How long on average do you stay when you go?
Believe it or not, Lisa, I'm only here 30 days at a time. So I haven't had any, well, first of all, I'm not 50.
Oh.
When I do turn 50, yes, I will go through the retirement residency. I will go through that process. But for me, I just leave every 30 days. And the great thing is that I have other homes in other Asian countries. So I'll, you know, from Thailand, I'm only a few hours from my other home. So I just go to my other home, stay there for a month or two, and then come back.
Wow. And you could stay there for another 30 days in the next place.
Exactly. Well, like for an example, Taiwan, which is also one of my homes, I can be there for 90 days. Japan is 90 days. So a lot of other countries in Asia, it's actually a lot longer. And the nice thing too, Lisa, is, for an example, if the average home in the United States is, let's say, about $250,000, and they didn't have any mortgage on it, so if someone were to sell that $250,000, if they were to buy something else for retirement in the United States, it's just going to get them one piece of property. Well, here in Asia, in Southeast Asia, that $250,000 can buy them 2 to 3 other properties in 2 to 3 different countries. Now they have second and third homes around, you know, in this area, which is absolutely incredible to have those sort of benefits. And it's a luxury that you can't really have in Canada or the United States.
Right. And actually, now that you're saying that, this is a great time to bring this up too, because if you're only there 30 days, and I think everybody's getting the hint that it's because you are possibly renting your place out when you're not there. So now you're having income.
Yes, you can. I personally don't. I'm just one of those people.
Oh.
I just don't like other people in my property. but I do have investment property I don't live in. And yes, the one thing that's great about Asia is when you buy a condo, it comes fully furnished, Lisa. And it's really beautiful how they furnish it. It's very ultra modern. It's just gorgeous. So you don't have to go furniture shopping. All you do is bring your clothes and your coffee maker and all that blenders and all the dishes and stuff. Actually, my condo here came with all that. It came with flatware, came with a blender, came with towels. It's like all I had to bring was my clothes. Exactly.
Actually, that's a good management property.
It is. So the nice thing is that when I'm buying an investment property here, it is basically short-term rental ready approved for Airbnb and all these other websites. And if I wasn't here an extended period of time, there is a property management right downstairs and I can flip it over to them and make income if I want to.
Yeah, that's I love the beauty of that. And these are people that they want to explore it and see everything. And just because we talked about finishings and that you don't have to keep moving furniture around, which I think is so smart. I think everybody should have built-ins and just leave them there. Don't worry about the moving truck and company. But the wood there, because I have a question. I'm going to ask about bamboo because this is a beautiful, like it's very expensive here in Canada. So should we want to get bamboo? I mean, we're shipping it over and stuff, but is bamboo used a lot there, and is it affordable?
It's actually not. What they use in the buildings, it's a lot of. So, for an example, because we can really only own condos at 100% ownership, they're a little bit smaller than what you may be used to, but they're better designed. So, a 500 square foot one bedroom feels like 1,000 square feet, you know, in Canada.
Oh.
So, they're very, very well designed. But the finishing here is very almost semi-modern to ultra-modern. The flooring, to make it feel bigger, is usually always white stone, some sort of – it can be marble. It can be some sort of tiling or ceramic. And the rest of the finishes is a lot of steel and a lot of leather. They don't use – even though it's very inexpensive, but they don't use a lot of bamboo because it's more old-fashioned.
Okay. And actually, I love that you brought up marble and stone and steel because, of course, now I'm thinking, I'm in Canada here, so it's a little colder, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that would be so cold. However, it's not very cold in Thailand. Like, you're up in in my world, Celsius, you're up 40 degrees and stuff. Like, it's hot, so those are going to be a lot cooler and more controlled for the temperature and the feel. how do people adjust to the temperature? I just want to talk climate here for a second. Are people comfortable there because it's just so hot?
Well, Lisa, I've met a lot of Germans, a lot of Canadians, and a lot of people from the Midwest of the United States that live here. And man, do they not miss shoveling snow. Not at all. They're like, I will deal with humidity any day where I don't have to pick up another shovel and shovel snow or layer my clothing. You don't have to do that here.
Right.
We only have really two seasons. We have really a dry season and a wet season. So the dry season is when it's not raining. And then the wet season is when it's raining. So the humidity level is tolerable. It all depends on where you're at. If you're in a beach area, it can be very similar to like Hawaii or like Miami, very hot and humid. There are mosquitoes. But in Bangkok, the best time of the year is between November to about March. And Lisa, the weather is gorgeous. Very little humidity. It's like living back in Orange County. Very very little humidity. It's the temperature is like mid-80s. Oh, it's just gorgeous. But the hottest time of the year is April. Super hot.
Ooh. Very hot. So I was going to mention about, see, now I'm thinking, okay, it's hot, but this is still beautiful. It's so gorgeous. And yes, we talked about the city and how busy it can be, but you've got some incredible beaches there.
We have some of the most beautiful beaches in the world, Lisa. For those of you that may remember the movie with Leo DiCaprio called The Beach, that was filmed in Thailand. And James Bond, I forgot which James Bond, it's with Sean Connery. Was also a scene was also filmed in Thailand. We have exceptional beaches, and some of the beach areas, everyone's familiar with. Obviously, some of the more the bigger more touristy areas like Phuket. But you have your smaller islands like Koh Chang, Koh Phangan, Koh Samui, Koh Tao, where literally, Lisa, it is like a postcard moment. Seven different shades of blue with little islands everywhere. It is truly like living in paradise.
You just described that so well with a postcard. I literally did picture a postcard. And speaking of that, I'm glad you brought the movies up. I was, again, well, I shouldn't be so shocked because now I'm realizing the beauty there. The celebrities that go to Bangkok to just experience that culture, to be like the grandeur of the hotels. The hotels are insane over there. And you don't even have to be staying at the hotel. You could be owning your own place, retiring there, living there, but just going for to view the lily ponds and those beautiful gardens that they have in meditation centers. They go right in the hotel and do that. So there's the people, you could have a star sighting when you're there, like a celebrity spotting.
Yes, you can. There are a lot of celebrities that come to Thailand. And Lisa, as I mentioned on our last show, when I was talking about producing my friend's documentary with Shelley and with Banzai, we arrive New Year's Eve. And Banzai's like, we're going to do this up. We're going to do New Year's. We're going to do it up. So we stayed at the Sofitel on Sukhumvit. So Sukhumvit is like our Rodeo Drive. It's really long. Yeah. And we're in a very nice area. So the Sofitel is a luxury hotel, and we got their penthouse suite that also came with a butler. And
oh my gosh.
There was a butler. There were two pools on deck. And so Bond and Shelley really wanted to do it up. So we stayed in this beautiful suite, and Shelley was so funny because Bonzai ordered all this food. And Shelly's getting her stuff, and I'm like, Shelly, that's what the butler's for. Let them do it for you. She's like, well, I've never had a butler before. It's just weird. So it was a fantastic experience. It was such a wonderful treat with Banzai and Shelly. We watched there in our beautiful balcony, watching the fireworks go off. And after we're done, there was a New Year's party downstairs at the bar downstairs. We walked out to Sukhumvit and partied with everyone else. We were out to 5 a.m. It was incredible.
Wow. Oh my goodness. These are such amazing, just beautiful visuals and everything. And you know, and I want to touch on healthcare, and I'll tell you how I'm tying this in perfectly. Whenever somebody's sick or not feeling well, or they're recovering from surgery or anything, really what they need is something to lift their spirits as well. And being surrounded by beauty or having a butler help out because maybe you can't walk or you can't move around as easy. Have you had to experience anything with the healthcare yourself personally, or any of your guests or friends that you've had over? Have they experienced Thai medical without living there, like as an expatriate?
Yes. So I actually got the experience of the first time I was here. So we were in Ubon with Banzai and Shelley. I got sick, and it was some sort of like flu virus that was going around. So I got sick. So Lisa, is that in the United States or in Canada, if you get sick, most people have, you know, some sort of insurance, is that you have to call your doctor. Hopefully, most likely, they're not going to see you today. It may be 2 or 3 days down the road because it's high season for the cold. So once you get there, you have to wait in the waiting room for an hour. And once you get called in, you wait another 30 minutes, an hour for the doctor to come in. Then they tell you exactly what's wrong with you, which you know that you just need some antibiotics or a Z-Pak. Then you have to pay your copay, $35 to $50. Then you have to go to a pharmacy, get your prescription, which costs you more money. So by the time you're done with all this, 3 days have elapsed. You've wasted hours upon hours for your copay and your prescription. You pay $50 to $100, whatever it may be, and you're still miserable. Where in Thailand, I was sick, Lisa. I walked next door to a mall, walked into a pharmacy. All pharmacists speak English. Even in Ubon, told them what's wrong with me. They're like, okay, you need this. They gave me a Z-Pak, a 7-day Z-Pak that cost me $2.50, and I was done. No prescription fee. I didn't have to wait for a doctor. I was done.
Oh, my goodness. So, okay, first of all, thank goodness the pharmacist, they speak English even there, because you mentioned that, no, they don't speak English that much there. So, A, that's a bonus. And at the pharmacy, could they provide any testing for sort of if they needed to do urine sample, blood work, or anything like that? Or no, you would have to go to a clinic at that point.
Yes, you would have to go to the clinic. So let me tell you my second story. So this is my second story. So my parents and my whole family decided to come visit. They've been to Thailand before, but it's been a few years, about 7 years since they came back. So the very first day, Lisa, I couldn't believe it. The very first day, you know, my mom, my brother, my dad was coming later. So I met my dad. I mean, my brother, my mom, and I went to this restaurant at Central World, had a beautiful lunch. And then we're going to walk from Central World to the Siam Paragon and to MBK to go shopping for my mom. So they have these skywalks. So as we're walking on Central World, we're walking a skywalk, and I pointed to my mom because my mom is Buddhist. So next to Central World is a huge Buddhist temple, a Wat. And I said, Mom, look at that temple over there. So she looked, and then she misstepped, and she broke her foot.
Oh, my God.
And my mom, having such a high threshold from pain, and, you know, she's kind of limping. She's like, I think I broke my foot. I'm like, no, you didn't. She's like, I really think I broke my foot. So she just like, you know, very casual, I think I broke my foot. So I piggybacked her, walked back to Central World. Immediately, Lisa, immediately, the people at Central World that were opening the doors said, wait. They went downstairs, got a wheelchair for my mom, wheelchaired my mom downstairs to the taxi, went across the street to the hospital. And Lisa, so my mom did break her feet. So doctor consultation, x-rays, painkillers, crutches. Take a wild guess how much that cost.
Oh my gosh, I was already adding up in my brain. I thought, you're in for $1,000 minimally.
Well, in the United States, it would be $2,000 to $3,000. In Canada, I would say maybe close to $2,000 to $3,000. No, Canada, because you're Canada. So
yes, that's why I was
maybe $500 to $1,000. That's right.
Yes. We would have to take crutches and painkillers and
exactly.
So even yeah.
So we walked in with a bill of a grand total of $40. And
oh my
mom,
God,
so as shocked as my mom is, she's like, okay, we better go. I think they made a mistake. That can't be right. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get in the taxi. I'm like, Mom, it's correct. They didn't make, she's like, how? So my mom speaks broken English. She's like, how come so cheap? How could it be so cheap? $40? How come so cheap? I'm like, Mom,
oh
this is Thailand.
Oh, and you know, and I really can, that's so appreciative. And I can see now why people, you know, you don't, because one of the biggest things I do here as a Canadian, say I'm going to go to the United States, I'm thinking I better get medical, I better get coverage, because I don't, you know, think about it here because I'm covered. And then I think, oh, so one of the reasons people do maybe shy away from travel, maybe their health isn't perfect, maybe they have a fear that, yes, I'm clumsy or things will happen. And that really helps, as you said in the last show, feeling safe. And feeling safe means, can I afford to eat? Can I afford if I get injured? How long can I stay here? Are the people nice? And all these beautiful stories that you're sharing with us and, you know, just how you've experienced them is really supporting, you know, a very positive trip and moving into even perhaps owning property in Thailand and Bangkok.
Lisa, if you want to wear this, the number one reason for filing for bankruptcy in the United States is for medical bills.
Oh, wow.
That is the number one reason, Lisa. Where in Thailand, it's not a luxury. Everybody can afford great health care. And then we have some of the best hospitals in the world where we have individuals that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars to billions of dollars that will come to Thailand for major surgery. So whether it's something minor as having the flu to major surgery, it's all here in Thailand.
You know, I am so grateful. I'm so thankful that you're sharing this with us. And firsthand, you know, you've been there, you do this. I'm already excited for our next show together because I want to dive deeper on those things, like really truly living there. As I just kind of recap, like you've expressed to us and shared with us how life can be, you know what, you can't, yeah, I'm going to actually say this. For the $1,000, if that means you can have great medical care and healthy, yummy food in your belly and people and surroundings and gardens, I actually would say that's pretty much living royalty. So with that being said, well, we're going to wrap up and I can't wait to have you again next time. But any last words you just want to share about Bangkok and the beautiful, happy-spirited people and their health care?
Lisa, I'm sure that we're going to touch up sociability and entertainment on the next show. But when I talk about that, the listeners are going to realize, you know what? I'm sorry to say, but my life sucks here. I want to move to Thailand. And I'm not saying this because I love it here. I'm saying this with experience of talking to other expats. So I'm going to save that for the next show.
All right. Well, everybody, you'll want to listen to the next show to find out how much your life sucks. Thank you so much. Thanks. Well, we will see you guys next time on Light on Living Abroad. Thank you.